From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. In Africa, oil has long been a problematic and at times destructive force. It's fueled corruption and civil unrest in Nigeria. It's funded Angola's brutal civil war. And elsewhere, it's prompted coups, ethnic rivalries, and greed. Now Chad is joining the ranks of African oil exporters. The country's first oil revenues arrived early this year, the results of a pipeline that extends across neighboring Cameroon to the Atlantic coast. Chad is hoping it can break the curse of African oil and use petroleum revenues to lift its people out of poverty. We have two reports today on Africa and oil. We begin with NPR's Jason Beaubien.
Chad is one of the least developed countries in the world, but it's betting that a well-managed oil pipeline can change that. The arid country has few resources. It's landlocked, squeezed between Niger, Libya, and Sudan. There are almost no paved roads and no reliable electricity. Since gaining independence from France in 1960, it's been racked by almost constant civil war. Chad's biggest export had been cotton, which gets battered on the world market by heavily subsidized U.S. and European crops. So when oil was discovered here, Chadians got excited.
Ils ont dit que si le pétrole arrive, nous les Chadiens, nous sommes riches.
Enoch Bipassoum says when he first heard about the oil project, he believed it meant all Chadians were going to get rich. Now the 26-year-old is waiting for work with hundreds of other people in a dismal squatter camp outside the oil company's gate. He's been here for almost a year.
J'ai trouvé deux enfants. Mes deux enfants là, c'est que moi je pense dans mon cœur.
I have two children back in my village, he says. If you see me today suffering, I'm doing this for them. Tears well up in the corner of his eyes as he says he'll take any job. This squatter camp of mainly straw huts used to be called Satan because of the fighting and prostitution that took place here. After much of it burned to the ground, residents renamed it Attan, meaning wait in French. Some people have been waiting here for 3 years. The unofficial mayor of Attan, Miskine Mugai, runs a pub/brothel called the Phoenix Bar.
No, le pétrole c'est pas pour tout le monde.
The oil is not for everybody, Mugai says. The Phoenix sits directly across the street from the main entrance to the oil base camp. In the back of the building, past the prostitutes, Mugai declares that you can't get a job in the oil fields unless you have friends or relatives who are already working inside. With the pipeline portion of the $3.7 billion project completed, jobs are even harder to come by, and most of the construction workers have been laid off. The project is run by a consortium of Chevron, Texaco, ExxonMobil, and the Malaysian oil concern, Petronas. Officials with the consortium in Chad declined repeated requests for an interview, nor was NPR able to tour their facilities. Unlike so many other African countries where national oil revenues have benefited only an elite few, Chad has pledged to spend its oil money to help the masses. Under pressure from the World Bank, Chad agreed to keep its petroleum royalties in an offshore account. The bulk of the money can only be spent on health, education, and infrastructure projects. An oversight committee that includes trade union and community representatives will oversee the fund.
It's totally new. What is totally new here, I would say, is transparency.
Jerome Chevalier is the manager of oil-related projects for the World Bank and the Chad capital, N'Djamena. The World Bank agreed to help fund the pipeline project after commercial lenders rejected it.
All the accounts where you'll have oil revenues will be audited. So everyone will know the extent of these oil revenues, which is very new.
Chad is expected to earn about $100 million a year from the project. Chevalier says Chad faces huge challenges to make sure this money is not wasted. The country is extremely bureaucratic. Government systems function slowly, if at all. The prison in the oil region is so poorly run that a recent report by an international monitoring organization referred to the inmates as voluntary residents. The country also lacks the trained accountants and civil servants needed to audit the oil accounts. In 2000, Chad's president, Idriss Deby, violated at least the spirit of the project when he spent $5 million from a signing bonus on weapons to fight local rebels. Despite the difficulties, Chevalier at the World Bank says the project is an important attempt to show that oil doesn't have to be a curse in Africa.
Because again, you know, Chad is one of the poorest countries in the world, and if we can show that all revenues can make a difference, you know, in a place like Chad. That's a very important contribution.
In rural parts of Chad, people live much as they have for hundreds of years. In the arid north, nomadic tribes tend herds of sheep, goats, and cattle. In the greener south, near the border with Cameroon, farmers live in mud and straw huts, often under the shade of giant mango trees. Here, near the southern oil fields, ox carts are more common than cars. These women are pounding millet with a large wooden mallet. They sift it between two pans to extract the grain from the chaff. Modernizing agriculture is one of the key priorities of the oil revenue plan, but there are some cautionary lessons about distributing money here. The oil companies made lump sum payments to thousands of farmers whose land was taken for the project. There are tales of farmers bathing themselves in beer from the windfall and squandering the cash on dowries for additional wives who they now can't support. A development group called ASAIL spent 10 years giving out loans to farmers here until they realized the money wasn't improving the productivity or the lives of the recipients. Kumakosi Saturinin is an agricultural engineer with the group.
On a fait l'évaluation et puis l'effet négatif. On s'est dit finalement les producteurs ruraux, c'est pas les moyens matériels qui leur manquent, mais il leur faut travailler l'esprit.
Saturinin says farmers lack more than just credit and tools to build their farms. There's something that has to do with the mind, he says, that must be changed. Essentially, Saturinin found that farmers lacked an entrepreneurial spirit and were waiting for the government to come solve their problems, which never happened. He says Chadians are equally unprepared for the arrival of the oil revenue. People's expectations are extremely high, and in this country where civil unrest bubbles just below the surface, he's worried that the oil could prompt new wars if it's not managed properly. Jason Beaubien, NPR News, N'Djamena, Chad.